Again tonight, Exodus chapter number 3. I began a message this morning entitled The Backside of the Desert. We got this out of verse number 1. We gave you the first 2 points of this message, and we'll give you the final point tonight, point number 3. Again, we'll begin our reading in chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert. There's the title of our message, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Let's pray together, and we're going to continue with this thought, the backside of the desert. Father, we love you. We give you praise today and glory and honor. I do ask that you help me tonight to be filled with the power of God. Empty me of myself and my flesh. Please forgive me for anything that hinders you. I do not want to hinder you at all. And I pray that if there's anything in my life that you remove it, forgive me for it. I do pray as I preach tonight that you'll take full control. Take this message and penetrate our hearts. Challenge us from it. Show us that we, as your children, are a picture of Moses here. And Moses is a type of us, if you will. And I pray that you help us to see ourselves standing at the foot of the burning bush. Bless now, I pray. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you a repeat as far as the introduction, and I'll tap on the head the first 2 points, and then we'll move forward. The last time we met in this book, I'm talking about before this message, we left Moses being content to dwell in a place called Midian. Now, in this place is where he's going to learn a lot of invaluable lessons from God Almighty. God has him, if you will, sitting in a school. And he's teaching him some major, major lessons on the backside of the desert. Now, this morning we began with 2 major thoughts, and we drove home 1 major thought in that God cares for his people. We looked first of all at the condition of Israel during this time, and then we looked at the care of God. Now tonight we move to the 3rd point, and that is the call of Moses. Now, this call of Moses is basically the entire chapter of chapter number 3. We're going to be looking at this call through the burning bush. And I want you, as we travel through this together, if you're saved tonight, Moses is a picture of you. He's a picture of me. Now, in other words, I'm talking about for application. I'm not saying that Moses is you tonight, all right? But I'm saying applying this to our life. As we see Moses approach the burning bush and we listen to what God says to him and how Moses responds, let's trust that we see ourselves there. Ask God to drive this home to you. May I tell you that just as real as the call of Moses was to go to the land of Egypt and call his children out of bondage, every child of God has a similar call upon their life. Every child of God does. I'm talking about it's God's will for those who know Him to help set free those who are in bondage in the land of Egypt. Now this being the case, let's look at this together. Acts chapter 7 verse 30 says, and when 40 years were expired. Now keep in mind, when he went to Midian, he was 40 years old. The Bible says when 40 years were expired, so now he's 80, okay? There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. So at 40 years old, he is self-sufficient, if you will. He's independent. He's bullheaded, doing his own thing. 40 years later, God realizes now, not that he realizes because he never realizes anything, but he knows that Moses is now ready. He's 80 years of age. And as we keep this in mind in the setting of the story here, keep in mind what's going on. The condition of Israel is terrible back in the land of Egypt, and God cares about them. He loves them. He wants to set them free. Now tonight we're going to look at a sobering and challenging thought for each one of us who are a child of God. It involves the call of Moses from the burning bush. Now as we come to this section, as I've already said, let us see ourselves in the place of Moses. Here the Lord has come down due to his love and his care for the people in bondage in Egypt. He begins to speak to Moses through the burning bush, and he calls him and commissions him to go and be his representative in Egypt to deliver them out of that cruel bondage. Now, before I get to the basic thoughts for us tonight, and I have several of them, let me say that this call to Moses came in an unlikely place. It was on the backside of the desert. It came with unlikely procedures from a burning bush, and it came to an unlikely person by the name of Moses, who's an 80-year-old fugitive and a murderer from the land of Egypt. However, when Moses drew near to the bush, the Lord called unto him by speaking his name twice. Now, God has given me a thought. I may never preach a series on it, but one of my topical series that I have written down on a piece of paper that God may allow me to preach on one of these days is every time God called somebody's name twice. Because I'm going to tell you something. When he calls your name once, you better listen. But if he calls your name twice, you better sit up and pay attention. God calls his name twice. And what I want us to do, I want us to bring up, if you will, I'm going to put this out here. I wasn't planning on doing this. I know it's not on fire tonight, but and I know it's a fake bush. But let's just put it right here. There's the burning, right there's the burning bush. You have to use your imagination with me, or you might run me off as your pastor, all right? Here it is. There's the burning bush. Do you see Moses standing there? Here he is. He's curious about this thing. God begins to speak to him. What I want to do, I want us to pull up a chair. And I want us to sit down, and I want us just to look at Moses like this tonight. Listen to what God says, and look at Moses. Listen to what God says, and look at Moses. And when you do that, we see several things about his call. I want you to travel back with me as we sit there at the burning bush. And I want to give you several things tonight that the call of Moses involved. They all begin with the letter R. I do that to help you remember it, all right? Number one, the call of Moses involved, get this, first of all, it involved a response. We see this in verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses, and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Now let me tell you what I'm trying to get across here. It's interesting to note that how when Moses heard the Lord speaking to him from the burning bush, he did not run away. He didn't do it. Now it scared him to death, just like it scared you to death. By the way, if you heard a voice speaking from a burning bush, I don't think you'd run from it either, friends. You might be sitting there saying, good night, what in the world's going on around this place? All I'm saying to you is this. When the Lord called his name, he did not run away. He simply said, here am I. Now, that phrase there, back in this day, if you will, was a common expression to show that he was there to hear and he was there to hearken to whatever God told him out of the bush. See, the point here is this. Moses didn't run from this call. Now, he's going to try to make excuses. We'll get to that in a later message. But we see he did not run from it. In his heart, he was willing to listen to God. He was willing to take orders from the bush. He was there by saying, I'm responding by saying, yes, sir, what is next? What do you want? What's your request of me? See, the first thing the call of Moses involved is it involved a response from him. May I say this to you, that all of God's children have been called to be his representative to get others out of spiritual bondage. I want to ask you a question. Has there been a time in your life, I'm talking about with God calling you, God commissioning you, God commanding you, and let's just apply it to soul winning tonight if we will, because this is really what Moses is going back to do. He's going back to deliver God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And if you know about the word of God, Egypt is a picture of the world, Pharaoh a picture of Satan, and the Israelites are a picture of a lost person. So he's sending his representative back to call people out of bondage, call them out of darkness, and tell them that they can be set free. This being the case, has there been a time in your life where you have said, I am here for whatever you want me to do? You know, it's so simple tonight, yet it's so profound. What I mean by that, I know this is not deep preaching tonight. I try not to be deep. I can't be deep, I don't think. But what I'm saying to you, you know what God is looking for? Somebody who's willing to do anything He asks them to do. And this is the first thing we see about Moses and his call. It involved a response. Moses did not run. He was willing to do what God told him to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'm telling you that God called unto him out of the burning bush. And the first thing we see there is that that call involved a response by Moses to God saying, "Here I am, whatever it is, tell me what you want. My answer's already yes." That's what God's looking for tonight. Secondly, it not only involved a response, but number two, it involved a recognition. You say, what does this mean? Let's read verses 5 and 6 and then verse number 11. Let me show you what I'm talking about. "And he said, God, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." By the way, they had all died. Every one of them had died. "And God said, I am their God." You know what he's doing here? He's saying, don't worry about them. They're still alive. They're doing well. I'm their God. He goes on, "Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Look at verse number 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, in these verses, we see that the call of God right here, the call of Moses by God, it not only involved a response, "Here am I, my answer is yes. Whatever you want me to do, my answer is yes." It also involved recognition. It's interesting that the first thing God said to him after calling his name, he called unto him, "Moses, Moses." Moses says, "Here I am." It's interesting that the first thing God said to him was not, "Go to Egypt." He didn't do that. The first thing he said is, "Take your shoes off, boy, because the place where you're standing is holy ground." Now, here's what I'm telling you God spoke to me about. In that gesture, when he takes his shoes off, and I'm going to take mine off because it just feels better. But anyway, I'm going to take my shoes off right there they are. I want you to pretend that those are the shoes of Moses. Now, he didn't have shoes like that. It's probably sandals or something. Use your sanctified imagination. Now, here we are sitting watching all of this. God is called unto him. He says, "Here I am." He responded right. First thing God says is, "Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." I want you to think about him removing his shoes. And I want to tell you what he's doing. He's recognizing something. Moses is recognizing something here. What is he recognizing? Let me give you two things here. First of all, under this, he's recognizing God. Let me explain this. In verse number 5, the Lord tells Moses, I know what you're thinking out there. He's shorter now than he was when he has those shoes on. It's harder to see me now than it was earlier, wasn't it? But in verse number 5, the Lord tells Moses to take his shoes off, for he was standing on holy ground. Now get this. The removal of shoes was a sign of respect. It was a sign of knowing that one was in the presence of somebody greater. Then the Lord identifies himself in verse 7 by saying, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In other words, get this. Before God ever told him to go to Egypt, God wanted him to recognize who he is. He wanted him to know who he is. He wanted him to recognize and submit to who he is. Get this. When we truly see who God is, we'll have no problem doing whatever he wants us to do. And this is what he's saying. Moses obeyed the call eventually because he knew it was God's will. He knew that this was not a mere man talking to him. He knew this was God. So as he removed his shoes, he was recognizing God. But then in verse number 11, he recognized himself.
What I mean by that, he asked a question. Some people try to say that he's making an excuse here, and that's possible. But could it be that God has brought him to the end of himself? And could it be that he's really recognizing himself here? Because in verse number 11, notice what he said. He said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Are you listening to me? He's telling the truth right there. Hey, he realized something. He recognized something. He recognized that if the Israelites are going to be delivered out of Egyptian bondage, who is he to do that? He can never do something like that. Let me tell you something. That's a good thing he recognized that. That's a good thing. See, we see that he recognized God by removing his shoes, but we also see he recognized himself in a right way. Right here, he's showing his submission to the one higher than him, and he's showing his humility before the Lord by saying, "Listen, I don't have this in myself. I can't do this." 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." He is recognizing his own inadequacy for the job the Lord was telling him. This goes to show that he knew that if this work was to be done, it could not be done in his own strength. And it could not be done in his own know-how. See, we need to understand something here under this second point, that the call of Moses involved recognition. It involved recognizing something. He recognized God and who he is. He recognized himself and his own insufficiency, his own inadequacy. See, we need to understand that the work of God that he calls us to do is not to be done in the energy of the flesh. It cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. We are not sufficient in ourselves. The Bible says our sufficiency is in God. Now get this. In a world where folks think you just put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to. You know what I have to say about that? That's what I have to say about that. Hey, they try to teach people, and some people have grown up and think of themselves, hey, if you want to be something, just think hard and long enough about it. You can do anything you want to do. Be anything you want to be. Yes, and you'll grow up to be a nobody is what you'll be. You cannot do anything you want to do. God has made his work that no man can say, "Look what I did." No man will go into the throne room of God and say, "Look what my flesh did. Look what my know-how did. Look what my mind did. Look what my hands did." Not the work of God, friends. Not the work of God. You know, God has proven to me over and over again. Over and over again. He proved it to me this morning. He really did. I was on my face this morning right before I got up in the pulpit here, and I begged God. I said, "God, listen, you're going to have to take control. I can't do this. You're going to have to give my body strength. You're going to have to help me." I mean, I felt scatterbrained in Sunday school. I know I look scatterbrained, but I felt scatterbrained in Sunday school. And I got up before God and I said, "God, please, I can't do, you're going to have to take full control." And you know what God did? "I'll take it." That's what he said. And I'll be honest with you, God moved in our service this morning. And you know what he told me after the service? I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm just talking about impressing my heart. He told me, "Hey, you was tired, wasn't you? You was drained, weren't you? Hey, your mind was sluggish, wasn't it? But I moved in a mighty way just to show you something, young man. It's not about your know-how. It's not about your preaching ability. It's about it's about him, his strength, his ability, and all the praise goes to God for things like that." We see here that he recognized himself. He recognized God, number three. We're looking at the call of Moses from the burning bush. It involved a response. He didn't run away. He sat there and said, "Here am I. I'm reporting for duty." It involved recognition. He recognized himself and recognized God. Number three, it involved reverence. Now this is kind of building on something I've already said, but in verse number 6, the Bible says this, the last phrase, he was afraid to look upon God. Now it's interesting here that when Moses realized it was God speaking to him, the Bible says he hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. You know what that word afraid means? It doesn't mean that he was scared to death. That word afraid means he was showing reverence. It means he was showing respect. It means at that moment he was standing in the fear of God. He knew the Lord was speaking to him. And he truly feared God. You know, in the same way, the fear of God has been lost around the world. Now, you don't have to look far to see that I'm telling you the truth. For instance, why is it that so many Christians, God's children, why is it that so many Christians know God wants them to do something, but they refuse to do it? There are some in here. Don't think I've got you in mind, because I have nobody in mind. But in a crowd this size, there's no doubt that God has told some of you all to do something, and you know right now you can think of it, I've not done that. I need to. He's told me to. I've not done it. I know the problem. Well, it's just because I just don't think I can. I just don't think I'm qualified. I just don't think I. No, the real problem is a lack of fear of God. Now, don't think I'm looking at you and say, you don't fear God. Because let me say this. When I disobey God, I'm telling God I'm not afraid of him either. You know what? It's a good thing to stand in the fear of God. That's a good thing. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 3, we're not going to take time to go there, but the Bible talks about all this wickedness going on, all this wickedness, ungodliness, and then it kind of ends by saying this, there's no fear of God before their eyes. What am I saying? Why is the world in turmoil today? Why is it that Christians seemingly are complacent? This can all be tied to the fact that the fear of God is missing in society. You know, when a person truly sees the Lord, truly sees him, and they know that is God, they are ready to do anything he wants them to do. Now let's just put the biscuits on the bottom level tonight. If you know God is telling you to do it, if you truly fear God, your answer's already settled. You don't have to think about it. Your answer's already yes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. That's number three. The call of God involved reverence for God. He was revering God. He was respecting God. He realized, I better listen and I better do what I'm told. Number four, several things here now. The call of Moses also involved receiving. Now you say, what does this mean? Again, I'm just giving you ours just to kind of help you remember, okay? But look at verse number 7. I'm going to have to kind of just talk tonight. I feel like I'm starting to lose my voice up here. I know what you're thinking. Lord, pour it on, right? Verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land unto a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk, honey. Skip down to verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now here's what I'm talking about when I use the word receiving, the R word receiving. That the call of Moses involved receiving. What does that mean? Let me explain it. It's interesting to note in these verses that when Moses took his shoes off, God began to speak to him and share with him who he was, what was going on, and what he was going to do about it. In other words, get this. When Moses spent time with the Lord, he heard the heartbeat of God. Did you hear what I just said? He was given insight into what was on the mind and the heart of the Lord. He soon realized the Lord had come down to deliver his people from bondage. Here's what I'm saying. when Moses spent this time with the Lord, God filled his cup. He was receiving from God what God wanted him to do. And it's interesting, it's going to take a little while for him to get obsessed, maybe a chapter and a half or so, but eventually it's going to click with Moses, and Moses' life is going to become absolutely obsessed with what the Lord wanted. Obsessed. You know, you may tell you why a lot of people never share their faith in Christ. You may tell you why a lot of people never tell others about the Lord. Because they're not spending enough time with Him. If you spend enough time with God, He will begin to share with you and put on your heart what's on His heart. And eventually you'll be obsessed with what He's obsessed with. Let me ask you a question. What is on the heartbeat of God? What is God's desire? What is He trying to do? Dr. Tom Sexton, I don't know if he's a doctor or not, he should be. Dr. Tom Sexton says, the will of God for my life is to help others find the will of God for their life. What is the will of God? God is not willing that any should perish. Let me ask you a question. Is it the will of God for the world to be saved? Then are you involved in that? Is it the will of God for the world to hear the name Jesus? Are you making sure those that you come in contact with hear His name? See, there are people who will stay at home, they'll go through life, they'll come to church, and between Sunday and Sunday, they've never given a gospel tract out, they've never told anybody about Christ, and they think, listen, I just don't know how to do that. No, the problem is this, the time you're spending with Him is not sufficient. You say, wait a minute, you're judging me. I spent an hour with Him. Then you need to spend another hour, apparently. Because when you go into His presence, really seeking His will, and He reveals Himself to you, He will pump you full of things that's on His heart. It was on His heart to free the Israelites out of Egypt. That was on God's heart. And when Moses went into the presence of God, he received what God wanted him to do. Spend time with the Lord. Let Him tell you what He wants. Let Him tell you what He desires. And let that obsess your life. I'm telling you that this call of Moses involved him receiving from God. See, before we ever give out, we must take in. Do you understand what I mean by that? God wants us to give out, give out, give out. But if you never take in, take in, take in, you're going to burn out, friends. You're going to burn out. See, some of the greatest things that a church can do and that a pastor can do is try to get his people, if you will, into the Word of God every day of their life. Read it every day. Pray every day. Spend time in the closet. You know what? If more church people... Now, we've got a great church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know of one problem in this church. I'm serious. Hey, I realize that sometimes the pastor's the last one to know anything, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know of one major problem in this church, not one. That doesn't mean we don't have one, I'm just not aware of it. Praise God for that. But can I say this to you? There are churches who are in turmoil, and this church can become in turmoil, but not if our members are in the secret place. See, if we get into the secret place, into the closet, and spend quality time with God, God will take care of everything. See, a pastor should never have to get up and say, hey, that track rack out there, we ought to deplete it tonight. He should never have to say that. He should never have to say, spend time with God this week. He should never have to do that. See, we need to spend time with God and receive from Him. That's what happened at the burning bush. It involved receiving. Number five, it involved reliance. We see this in verses 10 and following. Notice verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now here's the point. As the Lord is telling Moses what he wants him to do, Moses responds in verse number 11 about how he's not capable of doing such a great work. However, the Lord immediately responds with this statement in verse number 12, certainly I will be with thee. In other words, the Lord wanted Moses to know that he was that what he was telling him to do, he knew he could not do it alone, but that he himself was going to go with him. Moses was not to depend upon his own ability, but simply rely on the presence, the power, and the promises of the God who sent him. See, this is also seen in his name in verse number 14, I am. In other words, what God is telling Moses, when Moses said, when I go there and they ask me what's his name, just tell them, I am has sent you. What God is saying is this, I am whatever you need. If you need ability, that's what I am. I'm not I was, I have been, it is I am. I'm that right now. And what God is getting across here is that the Christian life, I'm talking about going away from the burning bush, the presence of God, and going into a lost world to call people out of bondage into God's great, great freedom. He's getting across this, that that is to be a life of dependence. God did not call Moses to turn away and say, boy, now I'm somebody. Let's go take care of business. He didn't do that. When Moses met with God and he turned away to go into Egypt, he was a man who was relying and depending upon the God who sent him. God give us Christians like that. God give us Christians who spend time in the quiet place, in the closet, and may there be some gleaming things coming out from under the door. I'm talking about the burning bush is meeting you inside that closet, and God tells you what to do, and your answer's yes, and you feel inadequate. I just can't do that. I just don't know. I don't have that in me. Listen to what God says. Now I'm getting somewhere with you. You're right. You're right. See, the devil's a master at trying to get people to think, you can't do it. You can't do it. And he tries to get that to keep you to stop and to keep you from doing anything. May I say this to you? God says the same thing. The devil says you can't do it to stop you. God says you can't do it to keep you dependent upon him. To keep you seeing, hey, I can't do this. I'm telling you, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm serious about this. I'm amazed sometimes at how bad I do stutter. I mean, that right there stuttering. I mean, I stutter all the time. All the time I'm doing that. And God has called me to pastor this church. But can I tell you how the devil tried to use my stuttering? Because my stuttering, yes, it is repeating myself, but it's more of just kind of freezing up, losing my train of thought, if you will. Which is easy for me to do because my train sometimes gets lost in the woods, you understand? But the fact of the matter is this, the devil tried to use, and he still tries to use this, to keep me from doing the will of God. But I've learned a great lesson, that what the devil tries to use to stop me, God uses to keep me humble. God uses to keep me dependent. I am well aware. I'm serious. I'm not just blowing smoke here. I'm well aware that if God does not help me, I can't even get my name out of my mouth. And I'm pastoring this church. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into God's presence and told him something like this, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. And it's like the answer comes back and says, I know it. But I can through you, son. Just let me have my way. Can I encourage you to do something? If God tells you to go to Egypt, which he's told all of us to do that, You may be scared to death, but you just obey God. You submit to what He's told you to do and watch Him work through your life. It involved reliance. Let me give you two final things here. I'm skipping some things, but that's good for you, all right? Number six, it also involved relaying. Now, again, I'm not trying to force this outline, but I am just trying to give you some words to help you remember. In verses 15 to 18, notice what the Bible says. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. All the way down through verse number 18, God is telling Moses what he's to say when he gets there. Now, here's the point. God didn't just send Moses into Egypt with his own message. God sent Moses into Egypt with his message. In other words, God told Moses, when you go, here's what you tell them. You understand where I'm going with this? He didn't say, now you go, and on your way, you just meditate and write down a few thoughts, and then you share with them whatever you want to tell them. He didn't do that. He sent him down to Egypt and said, here's exactly what I want you to tell them. Now that's verses 15 to 18. Now here's the point. The Lord does not send his children away from the bush with their own message. He never has and never will. He sends them away from the burning bush with his message. And the message he sent us away with is the Word of God. We are not to go into the world with our own philosophy, with our own thoughts, with our own ideas. We are to take God's Word, God's message, and we're to preach it faithfully. This is why I try to, this is why I try to preach through books most of the time. Because I'm trying to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, I'm not going to get it all preached. I can preach the entire Bible and start over again and get something different out of every sermon probably that I preached. But I have a desire to preach through the entire Word of God. I want to do that because that means I don't have to go looking for sermons. My sermons are already here. It's right here in the Word of God. What am I saying to you? I'm telling you that it involved relaying the message of God. He did not go away from the bush with his message. He was not to go in there and say, here's what Moses said, here's what I say, here's what Aaron said. No, he's to go into Egypt saying, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. Let me tell you something. Our authority at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is not Jody Jenkins. Aren't you glad of that, friends? Our authority is not you, it's not me, it is thus saith the Lord. If it's in the Bible, preach it, believe it, give it to others. If it's not, scratch it and get rid of it. What am I saying? I'm saying God has simplified life. We are simply to take the message of God and give it to a lost world. The call of Moses involved him relaying the message from God exactly to the people the way God gave it. Then let me give you a final thing here. This is the last page of my notes. I'm still skipping some things. Aren't you glad of that? But the last thing we see that the call of Moses involved. Let me go back over this just real quickly here because I've forgotten these myself. All right? Number one, the call of Moses involved response. He said, here I am. I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. The call of Moses involved recognition. Put off your shoes. He was recognizing God and his authority and how much greater he is than himself. He was recognizing himself by saying, who am I that I should do such a great work? It involved reverence. He was afraid and standing in the fear of God. It involved receiving. He received from God what was on God's heart. He was gleaning from God. He was having his spiritual supper plate just being jam-packed with what was on the heart of God. He was receiving from God. It not only involved that, it involved reliance. He said, who am I? And God said, I'm going with you, son. I'll be with you. And what God is saying, I don't want you to rely on yourself. Rely on me. I'm the one that told you. I'm the one that's gifted you. I've got you. It took me 40 years to get you here. And I'm telling you, you're ready because I'm going to be with you. It involved relaying, not his message, but God's message. But then the last thing, and God gave this to me, and I want you to see this. His call also involved reality. It involved reality. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 19. And I am sure, this is God saying to him, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment. Ye shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Here's what I'm saying when I say the call of Moses involved reality. Here's what I mean by that. The Lord told Moses exactly what was going to happen. Get this. He told Moses the good, but he also told him the bad. He said, I want you to know something. When you go, he's not going to let you go at first. When you go, he's going to try to have a mighty hand, and he's going to try to take you out. But rest, Moses, because eventually he is going to let you go, because I'm going to step in for you. And I'm going to take him out. Here's what I'm saying to you. The Lord did not sugarcoat his call on Moses' life. He did not tell Moses, now Moses, all you got to do is obey, and it's going to be a bed of roses all the way, son. He didn't do that. He said, I want you to obey, but I want you to know something. If you say yes to me, it's not going to always be easy. Do you understand where I'm going with right here? The Lord made it known to him that freedom was coming, but not without a battle. You know, 2 Timothy 3:12 puts it this way, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, it's amazing that the Lord called one man, just one man, to help fulfill his desire of delivering Israel out of Egyptian bondage. This man's name was Moses. And he was anything but special, if you will. He had tried to do God's will his own way. He had killed an Egyptian. He'd buried him in the sand. He had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. However, God was teaching him some invaluable lessons during that time. He was coming to the end of himself. And he was learning to trust in his God. Now God came to him to call him to go back to Egypt and lead his people out of bondage. You know what this goes to show? That God uses weak things for his glory. You know, God has called all of his children to help deliver lost souls today. I want to ask you a question. This is an application to soul winning, telling others about Christ. Just as Moses was commissioned by God to go into Egypt, go back into what pictures the world, go back into Pharaoh's domain, go back into those places and call those people out of bondage into freedom and security and the land flowing with milk and honey. Go back in your mind's eye and hear this phrase, Moses, Moses, and hear Moses say, here am I. Has there been a time in your life when it comes to the will of God, whatever it is, have you truly made that statement that Moses made? Have you really, really honestly said, here am I? Wherever, whatever, whenever. If Moses had said no, I'm convinced that God had somebody else. God is not without his men. And I'm convinced
that you and I probably would have never heard the name Moses. Potentially. God uses this man to write the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch. God uses this man, who's a stutterer, who thought too much of himself, to lead his chosen people out of bondage. And it all started with the phrase, "Here am I." Will you make that same statement tonight? Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this night. And I pray you'll help us to see our part in this. Help us, Lord, to stop playing games. Help us to be real and to be right. And help us to see the importance of saying yes to the call of God. Bless now as we give this invitation, speak to our hearts and challenge us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Question number one. Maybe you're like the Israelites who are in darkness, in bondage, and you need to be set free. Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Has there been a time where somebody's taken a Bible and shared with you the gospel? And have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Do you know the God of heaven? Not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Maybe tonight God has brought you face to face with the burning bush. Maybe he's challenging your heart as a believer. Hey, just as Moses was called to the backside of the desert and he was standing right there at the burning bush and God called him to go into Egypt to help deliver his chosen people. Is God speaking to you about that? All he's waiting on is for you to take your shoes off. Recognize that you are not sufficient for this. That in your flesh you can never do this. You're not sufficient, but he is. Is he speaking to you tonight? Is there one here tonight? Say, Jody, I'll be honest with you. In my heart, I want to say the same thing Moses did. Hey, it took a while to get him to where he surrendered completely, if you will, but at least he started right. He said, "Here am I." He did not run. Was he scared? Yes. Was he frightened? Yes. Did he try to make excuses? Yes. But at least he didn't run away. At least he stood there and listened. God helped him get to the point to where his heart really was willing. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about this. I want to say in my heart, here am I, here am I, here am I. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. God is speaking to you. Would you leave your place? Would you come? Do now. Would you please come now?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and
love you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this service. We do thank you for calling Moses. Thank you for his willingness. Thank you that he was willing to be made willing. And I pray that you help us to see that, Lord, our life is to be lived in dependence upon you and obedience to you, no
No matter what it is, help us to be obedient people. Just to obey the Lord. To be right. May your will be done. Challenge us and help us. Forgive us for where we fail. Make us more like Jesus Christ. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go ahead and dismiss all the teenage parents, please. All teen, only parents. If you'll go downstairs right now. All the deacons, if you'll make your way up to the front just real quick. And you are dismissed, folks. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Try to be back on Wednesday night. Take some of those flyers for the big day, please. Sign up for the prayer breakfast if you wouldn't mind to do that. That'd be great.